Thousands of patients every year are admitted to hospitals because of irregular, fast, or strong heartbeats. Every year, at least one in four Americans is diagnosed with a heart condition. At that point, there are some very important decisions to make for your future. The harsh reality may be you are left with more questions than answers. This is where the Heart Rhythm Center podcast can help. We are your what, why, and how of palpitations, heart rhythm disorders, pacemakers, and defibrillators. Welcome your host, Dr. Jeffrey L. Williams, board certified in internal medicine, cardiovascular disease, and clinical cardiac electrophysiology. The information included in this podcast is for educational purposes only. It is not intended or implied to be professional medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice. Listeners should always consult their healthcare providers to determine the appropriateness of the information for their own situation, or if they have any questions regarding medical conditions or treatment plans.
This is Dr. Williams, and this is What Are Palpitations? Podcast 2. Palpitations and other symptoms that may represent heart rhythm abnormalities called arrhythmias. Heart rhythm abnormalities are actually quite common, and thankfully, the majority are not life-threatening. Heart rhythms such as sinus tachycardia, premature atrial contractions, PVCs, supraventricular tachycardia, atrial fibrillation, atrial flutter, or ventricular tachycardia and ventricular fibrillation are generally found in older patients and generally do not occur as frequently in younger patients. It's important to note that heart rhythm problems can be quite common, but we must have an understanding of the difference between a normal and abnormal heart rhythm. What is a normal heart rhythm? A normal heart rhythm is when your heart rate is between 60 and 100 beats per minute, with one atrial and one ventricular contraction for each heartbeat. This is called normal sinus rhythm. As discussed in the first podcast, the sinus node is a specialized area in your heart that serves as the timer or pacemaker for your heart. Any heart rate above 100 beats per minute or below 60 beats per minute could be abnormal. However, there are some situations where a heart rate may be less than 60 beats per minute but not indicate an abnormality, such as in a well-trained athlete at rest. The most common situation is called sinus bradycardia and no treatment is necessary. Similarly, there are other situations where a heart rate may be more than 100 beats per minute, such as during illness or infection. The most common explanation for this is called sinus tachycardia, and treatment of the underlying illness will correct the fast heart rhythm. What are abnormal heart rhythms? Abnormal heart rhythms include a multitude of situations in which the heart rate is outside the normal range of 60 to 100 beats per minute. Furthermore, an abnormal heart rhythm can also occur within the normal range of between 60 and 100 beats per minute, and this is detected with a 12-lead electrocardiogram. Another cause of abnormal heart rhythms is when the heart beats irregularly for any reason. Not all abnormal or irregular heart rhythms are worrisome or need treatment. However, this podcast will discuss many of the common abnormal heart rhythms and the treatment options that are available. What are palpitations? Palpitations are the sensation of an irregular, fast, uncomfortable, or strong heartbeat. These symptoms may be caused by an abnormal heart rhythm, but I have many patients with palpitations that are not associated with any arrhythmia. It is important to note that many patients will not experience palpitations but still have an arrhythmia. Finally, not all patients with palpitations have a heart rhythm abnormality. This can be very frustrating for the patient, but we can at least offer reassurance that there is not an active cardiac issue. Other symptoms that may represent heart rhythm abnormalities. My goal as a care provider for heart rhythm disorders is to carefully listen to the patient describing his or her symptoms and determine the likelihood that these symptoms may represent a heart rhythm abnormality. Many patients who have an arrhythmia will not tell me they are, quote, having a fast heartbeat, end quote. Often, patients report fluttering, vibrating, skipping, or tingling. Furthermore, patients may not experience these symptoms in the chest, but instead experience symptoms in the stomach, neck, jaw, or back. I have had a patient report belching. Careful questioning revealed that the patient had a heart rhythm abnormality that caused her to feel nauseous and start belching. Know your ejection fraction. The best single predictor for risk of possible harmful arrhythmias and risk of sudden cardiac death is your ejection fraction, which refers to how much blood your heart pumps with every beat. The ejection fraction is most commonly measured during echocardiography, also called an ultrasound of your heart, or stress testing. Your ejection fraction may also be measured during a computed tomography, CT scan, or magnetic resonance imaging, MRI, of your heart. In addition, the multi-gated acquisition, called MUGA scan, is a special test that can be used to measure your heart's ejection fraction. Talk to your care provider about the type of test used to measure your ejection fraction. The healthy heart ejects 55 to 70% of the blood it can hold during every beat. Once a patient's heart pumps less than 35% during a typical heartbeat, the patient is considered at risk for sudden cardiac death and may be a candidate for a defibrillator. It must be emphasized, however, that there are several situations in which a defibrillator is recommended if the ejection fraction is greater than 35%. These include hypertrophic cardiomyopathy, long QT syndrome, and other situations that are outside the scope of this podcast. What are ventricular fibrillation and ventricular tachycardia? Ventricular tachycardia refers to a very fast beating of the bottom chambers of the heart, called the ventricles, and it can cause low blood pressure, loss of consciousness, and even death if not treated. Ventricular fibrillation refers to an even faster beating of the bottom chambers of the heart, the ventricles, and is often fatal. During sudden cardiac death, when the heart goes into ventricular fibrillation, the bottom chambers only quiver and no blood is pumped. This leads to a loss of blood pressure, followed by loss of consciousness, also called syncope or fainting, and then, if not stopped quickly, death. It may seem confusing, but it is possible to survive a sudden cardiac death. A person can faint because of sudden cardiac death, for example, ventricular fibrillation, and be revived quickly depending on the underlying medical condition and availability of emergency personnel. A patient may quickly undergo this electrical cardioversion and ultimately undergo a defibrillator implantation to stop further episodes of ventricular fibrillation. Cardioversion is a procedure using electricity or medicines to convert an abnormally fast heart rhythm to a normal rhythm. Is there a difference between atrial fibrillation and ventricular fibrillation? Atrial fibrillation and ventricular fibrillation are very different. Atrial fibrillation is the most common clinical arrhythmia encountered in cardiac electrophysiology, and it is a problem of the top chambers in your heart, that is, the atria. Approximately 5% of people over 60 years of age have this condition. If you have atrial fibrillation, your most significant risk is for stroke, and the first step in treatment is deciding what type of anticoagulation is appropriate for your situation. Aspirin alone may be adequate, but you may require warfarin or one of the newer oral anticoagulants that can be used in place of warfarin. The next issue is to determine how to manage the heart rhythm abnormality itself. A rhythm control strategy is in place when you are given antiarrhythmics. These are medications that help maintain a normal rhythm to prevent atrial fibrillation from happening. This strategy is ideal for patients with severe symptoms. Antiarrhythmics include flecainide, propafenone, amiodarone, sotalol, dofetilide, and dronedarone. A rate control strategy allows the presence of atrial fibrillation, but prevents fast heart rates with medications to slow your heart rate. This is a good option for patients who do not feel their atrial fibrillation. 3 out of 10 patients with atrial fibrillation may not have any symptoms. Medications to help slow your heart rate while you are in atrial fibrillation include beta blockers, such as metoprolol, etanolol, or carvedilol, calcium channel blockers, such as diltiazem and verapamil, and digoxin. The most important thing to realize is that atrial fibrillation will not be completely treated or understood in a single visit. Be patient with your care provider. A medicine that works for one patient may not work for another. Remember, atrial fibrillation is very different from ventricular fibrillation. Podcast 6 will specifically discuss atrial fibrillation. Congestive heart failure and risk of arrhythmias. It is confusing, but congestive heart failure, CHF, may cause arrhythmias, and arrhythmias may be the cause of CHF. Symptoms of CHF may include the following: shortness of breath during exertion or while lying down, chest pain, swelling or edema in the feet, ankles, or legs, irregular or fast heart rate, weakness and fatigue, reduced ability to walk or exercise, coughing, sometimes with pink sputum, or wheezing, sudden weight gain, loss of appetite, or stomach discomfort. The appearance of these symptoms should be relayed to your doctor. The American College of Cardiology has developed extensive guidelines for the diagnosis and treatment of heart failure. A doctor who suspects heart failure may check your electrocardiogram, evaluate your blood laboratory tests, and assess your ejection fraction to find the underlying cause of the heart failure. Coronary artery blockages are the underlying cause for 2/3 of patients with heart failure. This is called ischemic cardiomyopathy. The remaining patients have heart failure caused by arrhythmia, hypertension, heart valve disease, heart muscle or myocardial disease, or toxins such as alcohol and some types of cancer medications. Sometimes patients have no obvious cause for their heart failure. This is called idiopathic cardiomyopathy. The true incidence of arrhythmias causing CHF is not clearly known, but is probably under-recognized. Atrial fibrillation is an arrhythmia that is very common and is found in as many as 10 to 50% of patients with CHF. However, CHF is less commonly caused by arrhythmias. CHF caused by arrhythmia may occur in as few as 1 in 10 patients with arrhythmias from the atrium and as many as 1 in 3 patients with arrhythmias from the ventricle. Obviously, arrhythmias in patients with CHF are generally more concerning than arrhythmias in patients with no evidence of CHF. I hope this podcast has given you an idea of what are palpitations and other symptoms that may represent heart rhythm abnormalities. And podcast 3 will be discussing how are heart rhythm abnormalities diagnosed.
Thank you for listening to the Heart Rhythm Center. If you have enjoyed this episode and would like to access extensive explanations of topics discussed today, together with helpful illustrations, head over to www.heart-rhythm-center.com, where a full list of available publications on Amazon can be easily accessed. That's www.heart-rhythm-center.com. And please subscribe to the Heart Rhythm Center blog, as well as Dr. Williams' author page on Amazon, where his books discussing arrhythmias, pacemakers, and defibrillators are available in print and electronic Kindle versions.